from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio
on WGR.
You know, I have a big setup here because I think I know what Sal has been doing today, but I probably should make sure it's okay or just let him say it. And I don't. I don't know that answer. Sal, can you tell us what you've been up to this afternoon?
Well, let's see. I had a radio production meeting this morning for the game, and then I did a Toronto radio spot later in the day, and then I went to play top golf with a whole bunch of media members. The Bills PR was nice enough to set up. You know, they do a golf outing for us every year in Buffalo, and unfortunately we couldn't do it this year. So in lieu of that, they said, hey, when you guys are in Pittsburgh, we're going to do a top golf outing. So it was really cool. Got to go play top golf with a lot of our favorite media colleagues and, you know, Bills staff members, and I'm currently in an Uber driving back to the hotel with a fine woman named Malaysia, who I asked her if I could, you know, do the radio spot in her Uber, and she turned down her music, and I was really thankful. I appreciate that.
The setup was going to be that my son played there when his lacrosse team went to Pittsburgh for a tournament and came out of it deciding he was never going to swing a golf club again in his life. It went so poorly for him at Top Golf. He's like, you know what, Dad, this is not my sport, I'm pretty sure. But funny, that's the same place you were
He's
at today.
He's an athlete, though. I bet you if he
digs in
a
little,
yeah. If he kept playing a little bit, like, he'd be fine, and he would really like it and be competitive and pretty good.
And you can rent lefty clubs at Top Golf.
You don't even rent them; you just ask for them. This is what I did today. I went up there and I said to the server, "I said, hey, can I get some lefty clubs, please?" And she said, "Oh yeah, for sure." And she brought some. And then later on, Dan Fates came, and Dan from Rochester, he's a lefty hitter. And he said, oh, I might need your lefty clubs. And I said, no. Actually, I'm sorry, it's Alex Brasky Batavia. Dan might even be too. But I said, I think he might have other ones. And he asked, and they brought him some. So, yeah, that's all you got to do.
Good deal. I've never had a Top Golf experience. I've not partaken. I don't know. Owen's done it a couple times when he was in New Mexico, but I've never done it.
Well,
I think that you should actually invest in starting one, Bulldog, in Buffalo. That's what you need to do.
Okay.
I think it would be really, really, really popular, to be honest with you.
All right, well, let me sell a couple of guitars, and I'll see if I can get the seed money together to start that up.
People seem to love it.
Right. Well, yeah. I don't know here. Like, we're started with Top Golf, and I want to ask you about Springsteen last night, but maybe we can save that for the end. Because okay. We do have a football game to talk about here.
Quote, football game.
Sure. So how notable is it to you, Sal? We heard about starters playing yesterday. Or no, it was today. We just heard about that. We were wondering about it. And I at one point said, geez, I think Josh Allen has only ever played in one preseason game his time here in Buffalo. And that was the case up until last year. Although I don't know about his rookie year, but like once he got established, he's sort of just played a game, one of the three, and that's it. Last year, though, he played only a little in one and then more in a second. And hearing about a quarter and a half for starters after a quarter last Saturday feels like kind of a lot.
Yeah, it does. And I think that Sean McDermott feels that his team is new enough, and there's a lot of different, you know, guys that have to kind of get on the same page, including a center, including wide receivers, that he wants to see more. I think last week's performance, he wants to see better. He was pretty pleased with yesterday's performance. After, you know, some talking with him a little bit today, you know, getting ready for the game tomorrow. But, you know, he feels that his team, you know, still needs to get some work and come out there and show probably, you know, the kind of energy and competitiveness that maybe was a little bit lacking last week, I guess. But you're right. It's still something when you see it, you're like, man, that's doesn't seem like that's normal protocol here for the Buffalo Bills. So it kind of jars you a little bit on, you know, why that would be. But I think that's kind of the what's really behind it.
And what, do you have an opinion on it? I mean, it don't make sense. It would make sense, I think, if they didn't play or if maybe if they even played longer. I guess it's a way of asking, if is this what you would do?
No, I would put my franchise quarterback on the bench and never see him play in preseason. But it's easy for me to say that sitting here, right? I mean, it's easy for anybody. And I think I get it. I understand the value of it, no doubt. I don't. I respect it. But, I mean, I don't need to see Josh Allen playing because I just think the risk – is far greater than the reward, right? Now, Sean McDermott has his reasons for wanting to do that and needing to do that, and I understand that, but from my vantage point, it's like, man, that is really putting your, you know, all it takes is that one, you know, ankle twist, one hit, you know, and but if you, what's the flip side? He goes out there and he throws two touchdown passes, moves him down the field, that's great, but it doesn't count for anything anyway, you know? So right. I think it's risk versus reward.
Yeah, and there is this caveat about the starters, and obviously that would pertain to Allen, maybe most specifically, about the weather, Sal. And I don't know, is that a relatively new concept as it pertains to preseason football, or is that always kind of been there and maybe we just haven't really thought about it that much? That, like, if the field is slick because of precipitation, then that will change our plans with our starters.
I think it's, I don't think it's very new. It's just like going back to what you said. I don't think we've seen the starters enough for it to really matter, right? So in years past, I don't think it's something that they would say this is the plan. But yeah, I mean, he's going to monitor the weather, and if it gets to be a situation where, hey, I'm kind of making it even more risky here for a slick field and something just, you know, to happen that shouldn't happen here, you know, I'm gonna pull him out earlier and maybe not even play him. Who knows, right? Yeah. So he's going to be monitoring that, and it is subject to change based on that. And other factors, and one of the things that happen in the game, obviously.
I am with you on not playing them. Like, that's what I also would do. I agree that it's easy to say from here. I'm not surprised, though. With all the new here, you ran it down. And McDermott, you know, he comes from Andy Reid. And Reid is, I mean, Mahomes is playing in a second preseason game this week. So, and he played last week. So that, I mean, it's not at all that, and they don't have the amount of turnover with their, I guess they got some new parts, but still it's not as new as this is. And so it's not, I wouldn't do it, but I'm not surprised they're doing it.
Yeah. It's really weird. I mean, like you still get so many different philosophies on this. The Arizona Cardinals are not going to play Kyler Murray at all. And the Bills open up with them, right? First game of the season. And from what I understand, now maybe that changed, but from what I understand from Jonathan Gannon, he had said last week that Kyler Murray's not going to play. So, and Kyler Murray doesn't have the, you know, establishment at his position and standing in the league as Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. So it is interesting how every coach is still going about this their own way.
Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline in Pittsburgh. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, the Bills and the Steelers tomorrow night at 7. So, I made a list. It really wasn't much of a list, but just a couple of things that...
An effort was made, Sal.
An effort was made. I appreciate that. Very flattering. To come up with some things that I would like to see, a Bills fan would like to see tomorrow night, maybe. And they're pretty simple, basic things. Keon Coleman getting open, and, you know, they hit on a timing pass with Allen in this game, something like that. Ray Davis... Let's see a flash from Ray Davis, who did a little bit. There were a couple of interesting moments in the passing game last week, but as you wrote, writing up the Bears game, not much at all on the ground. Do you have a couple of things like this where, yeah, again, are they meaningful? Bulldog turns it back on me and goes, well, what if those things don't happen? Are you going to sort of feel bad about the situation? Like, no. But can you think of a couple particular things you might like to see that would boost your confidence?
I'd like to see the running game as a whole do a little better than last week. I just think that they didn't run the ball well. Now, they were facing the number one run defense in the league last year in the Chicago Bears, and there's no game planning going on, right? So, obviously, you know, those things factor in. But I just thought that they had no space to run. And I know, you know, and I doubt their game planning again, but you'd like to see just hat on a hat, open up a hole or two, see James Cook run through the hole, see Ray Davis run through the hole. I'd like to see a little bit more in that area from them. Yeah, Keon Coleman, because he had a couple of targets go his way, didn't really have a chance there, or at least were incomplete, you know, good coverage by the defense. That would be a nice one, especially after what I saw on, you know, practice yesterday, you know, he had a few reps where, you know, they kind of covered him right off the line of scrimmage, and it was tough on him, but, you know, on one, he made a great move at the line, and he just, you know, blew by the guy right after that. He had no chance. I'm like, no, those are the kinds of things you want to see. It'd be really nice to see something like that. I think on the defensive side, I'd like to see them be a little bit more buttoned up on the perimeter and rollouts and kind of, you know, contain a little bit. It just was an issue last week. It was an issue again yesterday at practice, both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields getting out and having a little bit of room. Again, now game planning, but I need to see, like, how they react to seeing that happen and not allowing those quarterbacks to have those opportunities.
Sal, earlier today we were talking some about Terrell Shavers, and I sort of stumbled into this observation slash opinion that, you know, every year there's like the dark horse guy, the new guy, whatever, like a kind of a fan crush. And I don't know that Shavers is exactly elevated to that level, but he's had a very good camp and seems to have the inside track toward one of the roster spots at receiver. And something that I feel like could be more meaningful about that conversation this year and his presence here is that maybe a guy like that, that's kind of coming from the back, if you will, so to speak, has more of an opening than there has been in past years. Like, I know the Bills certainly have their pecking order and who they have in mind to be the guys that matter, but I feel like if Shavers makes the 53 and gets an opportunity, maybe there's the door's cracked open a little more than it normally is. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's a good observation, and I agree. I mean, there's more opportunity on the back end because they have so many guys they're going to use in so many ways. You know, you don't have your true number one and true number two, right? I mean, it's kind of, yeah, you have – I'm confident in saying they have four that are on the team. They're locked in. And after that, who knows? And I think Tyrell Shavers is right there at number 5/6. I think MVS is right there. And I think whoever makes that 5/6 has an opportunity. Plus, injuries happen throughout the year. And I just think that because of how they've designed this offense, no more Stephon Diggs, no more Gabe Davis – they've kind of made it clear by intention, by design, that they just want to use everybody. They want everybody to have a role here. You never know what's coming at you. They're all very complementary pieces in what they can do. Certain guys have all these different skill sets that they can move around. And I think Shavers or whoever gets that last spot or two would have that opportunity. And speaking of that, I think it's a really good point to go into, like, what those numbers look like, because, like, I want to go back to your earlier question, Mike. Well, here's one thing I want to see. I want to see someone separate in the return game. No one's separated yet. Like, no one's won that battle. And there's no real – I don't know who's winning the battle, to be quite honest. But that goes to what you said, Bulldog, about receiver and numbers. And is that Andy Isabella? Because I think Andy Isabella still has a legitimate shot at this. And if he does, what does that do to the receiver numbers? Tyrell Shavers, MVS, where do you go with that? So – yes, to put this all together, the back end of the receiving core, somebody's going to have an opportunity to play a little bit more and have that return job, because I think that's where you – I think in an ideal world, you want your return man to almost come from that group. But if not, because then you have to decide if you can have that guy and you're going to keep him anyway, then that would be great. But if not, you decide where you're going to go a little bit later on numbers.
Who has been, besides receivers here, you mentioned Isabella, and I know KJ Hamler, Daquan Hardy, the corner, has he gotten some run at kick and or punt return as well?
He has. Remember last week he fielded a punt at his own 4-yard line and kind of bobbled it. Like, was he caught it, but it like kind of hit his shoulder pad there. And he came off the field, and, you know, Matthew Smiley immediately was telling him, oh, hey, great, but, you know, that's not the spot you want to grab that, right? Like, you want to make sure, hey, let that one go into the end zone. It's a learning curve for him. And, you know, it's windy, and, you know, you're kind of watching the ball and tracking it, and you might lose your spot on the field a little bit, but, you know, he's got to learn that. And then KJ Hamler had the bobbled kickoff return. And then, yeah, who else? Ty Johnson's in this mix as a punt return. They do have – Ty's more of a kick returner, though, not punt returner, but he is in that mix. And then – you know, if they have to, they'll put Khalil Shakir back there. I don't think they want to do that. I think they're very comfortable with him catching the ball. You know, the famous punt catcher here in Buffalo, right? We should have something.
Oh,
he does. Yeah, he can return, but he's going to be such a big part of the offense. I don't think they really want to have to do that.
Sal Capaccio in Pittsburgh. Dawson Knox has a couple injuries, maybe, and will he play? If you know,
That will be He might play. Yeah, he might play. I think it's going to be determined by the same kind of things. Like, if he plays, they'll manage his reps a little bit. We'll see how it goes, which is a good sign. It means it's nothing major, obviously. But, you know, with the weather and things like that, you want to be a little careful as well.
What's your expectation with, as much as we've talked about, all the different receivers, the possibilities, and Kincaid's importance, the draft capital investment, the upside with him? You know, what's your latest guess as to where that leaves Knox? Because I still think he's going to be on the field a lot. Pointed to this earlier, the 7 games he was active for from when he returned from injury to the end, including the playoffs, all under Joe Brady, he played 40% of the snaps in every one. I think people here are sort of talking about this season like he's not even a part of it. The Kincaid is the tight end, and I've got a slot receiver. I don't know. We had a guest on earlier that was out there yesterday talking about how skinny Kincaid looks. Looks like an ex-receiver compared him to Eric Decker in terms of a body type. I mean, he's not playing with his hand down very often, I think. What do you think of this?
I think it's a great observation from you about Dawson and what last year looked like a little bit. It was kind of a lost season with the injury and him coming back. I think they had a lot of plans for him last year, and then things just didn't kind of go that way for a lot of different reasons. I really think they believe in him a lot. They want to lean into 12 personnel. He's a big part of that. I know they gave him the contract a lot of fans are, you know, not happy with and think it's a really big contract, and it is, but he is a true number two tight end. That's what he is. He is a really solid number two tight end in the NFL. He could be a number one tight end in the NFL on some teams. And I think the Bills are going to play a lot, 12 personnel. They're going to use him a lot. He can be a red zone target. He can effectively block. That is a very good group for them, by the way, overall. And I've talked a lot about Zach Davidson. I mean, as this is going on, now Zach Davidson has flashed for sure. I go back to OTAs and minicamp, and I think Zach Davidson has looked really good. And he, you know, talk about skinny. He's a taller, skinny guy. And he can, you know, he runs like a little bit like a receiver. But as this has gone on, I will tell you guys, the other day, Quentin Morris had a great day yesterday. And I think Quentin Morris just checks more boxes than Zach Davidson. So I would still say that Morris is your number three. And honestly, like, Quentin Morris is your number three tight end is pretty darn good, to be quite honest with you. Like, this is a good group for them. And I think Dawson Knox gets kind of unfairly overshadowed by the fact that they drafted Kincaid. He's got the contract, but I do think he's going to be a heavy part of the team.
Yeah, it feels a little like the Zach Davidson had his week or had his few days where it like sort of peaked, like, oh, this guy, look out, big, intriguing, whatever. And then Quentin Morris is like, nope.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm still here, guys.
And, if you look at the two, right, you're like, which one's the tight end? You're going to say it's Quentin Morris. You know, Zach Davidson looks like a, like you said, a taller kind of wide receiver kind of guy. And, you know, you know that Quentin Morris can just help them in more areas. And look, I'm not saying that Zach Davidson has no shot to make this team. He does, but I'd be pretty surprised if they kept four, and it'd be great to have him, you know, as a practice squad tight end that you can call on in certain situations or because of injury. But I think right now it is Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, they're going to play a lot, and Quentin Morris, who still can get actually on the field in certain situations.
Everybody knows the one bad thing that can happen in the preseason is an injury. You've had the Milano injury already this week at practice, and they're very short at safety at the moment. Your outlook on how that all might factor into usage tomorrow night.
Yeah, and we're waiting. Damar Hamlin, too, now. He had left practice a little bit, didn't take a lot of reps, so we're waiting on that and what that situation might be. He stayed after practice signing some stuff, so, you know, but I know that, you know, he didn't finish the practice necessarily with teams, so, you know, we'll see on that. I think it's a tricky situation, guys. I mean, they really need to get healthy at safety, and they're not, and what do? You put the guys out there who are healthy? I mean, at this point, even if the starters, you know, the starters are playing a quarter and a half, let's say weather's fine, starters are playing a quarter and a half, I honestly don't know if you can put Taylor Rapp out there. Taylor Rapp is, like, what if he gets banged up? I mean, what do they have?
Right.
I think you got to be really careful here, and you got to thread this needle somehow. I mean, we may be just seeing a lot of Dee Delaney and Kendall Williamson tomorrow, you know, starting from the jump. I mean, you know, Cam Lewis back there at safety, which he was playing yesterday during the practice. Cam is such a versatile guy, but they're going to have to lean on him maybe to, you know, get some safety reps here throughout. They got to get Edwards and Bishop healthy at some point. It's just a big, big key for them. they're missing so many reps, and they're new to the defense. And I know Edwards, and I've said it many times, is kind of familiar with the scheme, but it is a different scheme. And they just got to, at some point, get these guys healthy because they are really thin right there.
All right, have we covered it all? Have I waited long enough to ask you about your first Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band experience, Sal? I was so envious when you sent the picture out on social media, and you even texted it to me. I saw it before you sent it to me, but I appreciated that you did that. And you know what? Before you even answer, I got to tell you, I've passed up opportunities to get seats behind the stage like you sat in, and seeing the view you had has made me regret it. Because I think I would like, especially a legendary band like that, with so many moving parts, the horn sections and the backup singers and the key, all of it, it's such a big setup. I think it would be really cool to watch the show from back there.
Me too.
Yeah, actually, you know, and it was like the cheapest seats we could find, and they were still really good seats. And we were right behind the stage, but we were in the third deck, but you could see everything really well. There was no blocking of the stage. It was great. And just to clarify, I did see him once before. It was about 25 years ago.
I'm sorry.
1999, 2000 in Tampa.
Okay.
And what I remember was, Bulldog, he went 3 straight hours without stopping. You know what he did last night? 3 straight hours without stopping. He is going to be 75 years old next month.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. He was incredible. And he just knows how to work the crowd. You guys know that. You know what's really cool is, at one point, Whip, me and Bill Whippert were there together, and Whip said, "Sal, I just counted. There's 18 people on stage. The E Street Band is huge.
Yeah,
There were 18 people on stage with all the horns and the piano and the two drummers. It was incredible. Now, I will tell you, a lot of the songs I was kind of unfamiliar with because they might have been newer songs, and you know, I haven't really listened to Bruce Springsteen like that in quite a while. But he did the encore, and it was Born in the USA, and it was Dancing in the Dark. It was really cool, man.
Yeah.
So is it now Mariners Pirates?
Right. You go from Springsteen to Skeens.
That's exactly what's happening. In fact, I'm watching people walk over to the stadium right now. Literally, I'm sitting in a red light in the Super Guys, and the stadium is directly to my left. It's a really beautiful stadium downtown.
Yeah.
Skeens pitching tonight. A bunch of us are going over there. A lot of the media is going over there. Some of the Bills staff is going over there. We're gonna check that out. Real quickly, though, last night, I got to tell you what happened last night was after the Springsteen concert, I told you guys that, you know, Woj and Schefter and those guys were at practice, right? I told
you that. Right, and they were going to the concert, yeah.
Yeah, so Woj told me that Mike McDonald was coming, you know, from Damon, and Mike and I are really good friends. So I texted Mike and said, "Are you here?" Yeah, and we couldn't really meet up at the concert. And he said, "Hey, we're going back to our hotel after. Let's meet up." So I went back to that hotel, and I go in there, and there's Mike McDonald. I'm talking with Mike, and just casually he's like, "Oh, let me introduce you to a couple of my friends." And he's sitting there, and I'm sitting at this table and talking, and Dusty May, the head coach at Michigan, and Will Hardy, the head coach of the Utah Jazz, Jeff Passan of ESPN, and I'm like, what world am I in right now? It's unbelievable. Right? I mean, it was a fantastic night. It was unbelievable.
Everybody's in Pittsburgh.
So great that you ran into Mike. I haven't seen Mike McDonald in years, but I always admired him a lot. So nice that you ran into him.
And just so you know, I don't know if you know this, his son Matt was just named the GM of the NBA G League team for the Nets, the Long Island Nets. I mean, really great family there. So, yeah, it was awesome. It was great seeing Mike. And he kind of bolted, and he kind of was fine. He's like, "Hey, I got to go." But I hung out with Dusty May, head coach of Michigan, most of the night. And he was just one fantastic dude. It was awesome.
Living your best life. Very good. Enjoy the ball game, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's our Sal Capaccio from Pittsburgh on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
There's a great beer bar right across the street from the home plate entrance to PNC Park.
Of course there is. Why wouldn't there be?
Yeah. That's the one place I know in that area would be. You walk over the Clemente Bridge and they're just to the right. You know, good place to get a beer.
What a weekend this guy's having. I mean, you know, hanging out on the field watching football practice. He does that all the time. Springsteen, Topgolf today, Skeens, and to me, the best ballpark in the country. Wow.
And the great rivalry of the Mariners and the Pirates.
That's right.
First ever meeting.
Doesn't get any better than that.
First ever meeting.
They've never played.
The Mariners are at the Pirates. This is where you sound old, because like this is normal now. The Blue Jays are at Wrigley this afternoon. They just lost. That's a shock. 803-0550 for your calls. What's one thing you want to see tomorrow night? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.